If you have your Bibles open to Psalm 107, Psalm 107, I want to focus today on verse 7, which says that the Lord led them forth by the right way. After they cried out to Him in their distress, the Lord led them forth by the right way. And some of your versions say, by the straight way. Well, what you need to know about the right way is the right way is always straight. When the Bible describes the way of the wicked, it speaks of their way as being crooked. And the goal for us is to maintain our footsteps on the straight and narrow path, as it is described in the Scriptures. When we find ourselves off of that pathway, it is our job to cry out to the Lord and have Him reset our steps, to put us back on the path that we need to be on. Now, it's common knowledge out there that there's a difference between right and wrong. Even for those who don't follow the Bible or follow Christ, they have some semblance of understanding that there's a difference between a good decision and a bad decision. Yet often their knowledge of the Word of God is so poor that they often make bad decisions. In Hebrews 5, verse 14, it talks about those who are able to handle the meat of the Word. These are the people who have had their senses trained to know the difference between right and wrong. They're the ones who've trained themselves, their own minds, their own hearts, to understand when it's a good decision or it's a bad decision. In Psalm 107, verse 7, when the people cried out to the Lord, it says He led them by the right way, which means they're not following their own feelings and their own thoughts and ideas. They're following the Lord's Word. They're following His directions for their life. Today we're going to explore some of the challenges with going the right way, but we're also going to talk about the rewards that come as a result of going the right way. If you go over to Acts the 13th chapter, look at verse 10. Notice what he says to them. "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?" There are a lot of people who will take something simple and basic as what God reveals to us, and they'll twist it all up, and they'll have you crooked before you know it. And you'll be walking down a road, you don't even know how you got there. And it's because we're not paying attention to the directions that God gave in His Word for the home, for relationships with friends, for how we're supposed to work for our employer, for how we're supposed to interact with one another. All those things are described right in the Word of God. Will we heed those things? If you go over to Psalm 125, just a few pages over, I want to read verses 3 through 5 with you. Psalm 125, verses 3 through 5. "For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous, so that the righteous will not put forth their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. But as for those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them away with the doers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel." If you choose error, at some point God gives you up to those crooked ways, and you'll be led down that path to destruction. Now, what I'd like to do with you this morning, and we'll try to move rather quickly since I did take a few minutes to talk about the book that we have for this year, is I want to talk about six things briefly that describe the right way. First thing is, the right way is not always pleasant. It's not always peaceful. The second thing you should know is that it's sometimes lonely to be on the right way, the straight way. Thirdly, it's found in the old paths. Fourthly, it will cost you. Number five, it is gained by seeking guidance. And number six, it is the most rewarding way to go in the end. It is the most rewarding way to go in the end. Let's talk about point number one. It's not always pleasant. The way was a road to persecution in the Bible. People who were of the way, the straight way of Christ, they were persecuted people. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, Saul became the Apostle Paul, but before that he was breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Threats and murder. dragging them off to prison, men and women, and in some cases killing them for their faith. In verse 2, we see that he obtained authoritative letters, so he wasn't doing this illegally, he was doing it now legally. Permitted to take anyone claiming to be a follower of Jesus, bind them and throw them into prison, or take their life. We also see, though, that the right way is often forsaken by others that we love in Christ. Many times we talk about Demas. Demas, in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Paul says that Demas forsook him having loved this present world. Something in the world enticed him, and he decided to not work with the Apostle Paul and to go a separate way. You keep reading through that text, though, down in verses 14 to 18, you'll find out that Alexander the coppersmith did him much harm. It's not a peaceful, pleasant way to go. It's just not, because sometimes the people that we love and know in Christ abandon that route. And we also find that those who are found sinning and those who leave the right path need to be disciplined. And let me tell you, that's the worst, most undesirable thing we have to go through as brothers and sisters. If a brother or sister doesn't work, neither shall he eat. If a brother or sister is walking disorderly, we are to withdraw from them, to let them be turned over to Satan for a period of time so that they might repent and come back to the Lord and do what is right. We do that so we protect the body of Christ so that it's not infiltrated by sin. And if we're not practicing discipline, we're not doing what the Lord called us to do against those who have walked away from the faith. The Bible tells us we have to do that. You know what? It even says in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 20 that if an elder, you're not supposed to receive an accusation against an elder, but he goes on and explains, if anyone walks disorderly, they need to be marked. They need to be noted. And we need to exercise discipline toward that individual. We can't let it go on without it being taken care of. And it's one of the most undesirable, unpleasant things that a church will have to do. But you see, some people just want to teach error, and they have to be stopped before others are led astray. And yes, it's a challenging work to get the Scriptures and to be a defender of the faith and stand firm for what's right. But we have to do it. Long, long hours of study and sweat and tears go into being able to debate and love the Scriptures and show people the right way that they should follow. The Apostle Peter wrote that some will follow their destructive ways and heresies, and many will follow them into that destruction. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, many people will follow their destructive heresies and into their own destruction. And you can read verses 1 through 10 where the way of truth is being described as evil. Oh, they're all talking about it today. I saw there was a live stream on film or on YouTube where somebody was walking down there with a camera filming others who had signs that said, abortion is health care. And there were people who were from a local church holding up signs letting them know that abortion is murder. But if they're going to stand out in the streets and proclaim their doctrines, why aren't we? Why aren't we telling people the truth? We can't sit idly by and be quiet about the things that are going on in the world today, but we have to do it in a speaking freely as Paul did to the Corinthians, but we have to do it in love. Let them know the error of their ways. Secondly, we said that the way that is right is sometimes lonely. How many of you can relate that you've had to abandon friends, you've had to give up relationships, or relationships have been strained by the fact that you're trying to do what's right and other people are against you? Sometimes you have to walk by yourself. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 7, 13, and 14 that the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there be that find it. It is honestly the road less traveled. It is the road less traveled. The way is narrow and few there be that find it. So the few that do find it, we walk with them. But when we go away from each other, like we're gathered together this morning, we walk out of here. Sometimes the places that we go after we leave here, we are the only one in the room that holds to faith. And that can be very challenging to deal with. Jesus said that the way to death or to destruction is broad, and many there be which go in thereat. They all want to follow that way, because it's easy and it's the, you know, what do they say? Water flows the easiest path, never finds resistance. People just want to ride the wave of the world. instead of going against the grain. Jim talked about on Wednesday night. Sometimes when you cut against the grain, you meet resistance. And that's what happens when you and I decide to walk the way Christ has asked us to in a world that's totally backwards, totally crooked. Peter got up on the first Pentecost there after Jesus' resurrection and told them that they were a perverse and crooked generation. And that's more and more describing the world in which you and I live today as we look around us. Sometimes we have to forfeit our pleasures that the flesh wants because we want to follow the Lord the right way. Daniel, when he was in captivity, refused to defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies or his wine. He made a decision that just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean I have to. He still prayed to his God when everybody else was praying to the statue that was set up to be prayed to. And he decided, I'm not going to eat the king's rich foods. I'm not going to drink his wine. I'm a child of God. And sometimes we have to make that decision in our own lives as well. But you also need to understand that we will be faced with the decision to listen and follow the world or listen to God. That's always going to be in front of us. And it's one of those, in the moment, I'm at the fork in the road, which way am I going to go? It's that kind of decision. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, when the apostles were told, you're no longer allowed to preach in the name of Jesus, their reply was this, we ought to obey God rather than men. They didn't take the crooked route. They took the way that the Lord was leading them. And they kept on preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even choosing the right way doesn't always guarantee that you're going to avoid hardship. And that's why a lot of Christians get discouraged. We grow weary in doing good because sometimes when we're doing good, it seems like everything keeps falling apart. So we just throw up our hands and say, I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. No, that's not how it works. Remember Joseph. Hayden did a great job preaching a lesson on Joseph. I'll just give a brief highlight. Joseph was committed to God, did all that he could to avoid sin, was sold into slavery. When he was there, Potiphar's wife attempted to allure Joseph to be intimate with her, and he replied this way in Genesis 39:9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Notice he wasn't just concerned about violating a man's wife, which he certainly was concerned about, but it went beyond that. He was concerned about violating God's will. Now, Joseph gets up and he's leaving the room. He's running for escape. Potiphar's wife reaches out and grabs a hold of his cloak and strips it off of him. Now she's holding his shirt as if he had taken it off and was actually enticed by her invitation. And so she makes up a story and says, well, he tried to violate me. And what happened to Joseph? Says he was thrown into prison. But as the story unfolds, Joseph continues to choose what is right, and he attempts to keep God's will at the forefront of his mind and his decision-making. And the text reminds us in Genesis 39, 21-23, that the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord kept promoting Joseph and kept blessing Joseph. But did he not have to go to prison first before the Lord did all that? Sometimes hardships come. Don't get discouraged when the hardships come, because God still has a beautiful plan for you on the other side of those bars. God was with him. Next, the right way is found in the old paths. Everybody seems today, especially with the new year, oh, I want something new. I want something more exciting. Let's go to the experience church. Let's go and go where they have loud music and dancing and, you know, meals all over the place. Let's go somewhere new and exciting. That's what people want to do today. They want to find something new. But the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 6:16, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. But here's how most people respond, just as they did. The response came back, we will not walk in it. You see, when a preacher gets up and he's preaching from those same rich old scriptures that we've always talked about, people go, well, he talks about that verse all the time. What you should do instead is say, that's the old path. I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen and pay attention. What do you want? Some preacher to come make up new scriptures or somebody to give you a new doctrine, a new teaching, a new way to live? The way God wants us to live has been stated from of old. It's clear. It's plain. It's simple. But yet some people want to have somebody come up and say, God told me to tell you, and reveal something that's nowhere found in that book. And that's a big mistake. Because God tells us to stick to His Word and to follow it. The new way is not always a good way, nor is it God's way. I'm going to say that again. The new way is not always a good way, nor is it God's way. Yes, God will make all things new. Yes, God will make you a new creature in Christ if you obey the gospel. The point is, you're obeying the old gospel message that's been preached since the first time it was first preached. That's what you're obeying. But God is not about people coming up with their own doctrines and their own teachings and their own ways to worship and so on and so forth that we see in so many popular churches today. Some people will say, you Church of Christers, you guys are old-fashioned. We're not going to be shy about keeping the ancient book of God. If God says it, He means it, and we follow it. And if you see anything that we do here that's not according to the Word of God, it is your job to tell us. And we'll review it, we'll study it with you, and if we're wrong, we'll change. I promise you. I promise you, we'll change. But the right way is found in the old paths. Also, there is only one faith that we follow. Some people say, you guys are so narrow-minded. One faith, really? Look around you at all the faiths, even right here on Cedar Avenue, Ash Avenue. Look at all the people that are gathering in another place, just like we are today. I'm going to tell you right now that there are doctrines of men, confessions of faith, catechisms, you name it, extra books that were written by those religious faiths that they have to follow in addition to the Word of God. We only follow the Word of God. We only follow the Word of God. You won't find another book bound together with our Bibles. You won't find a separate supplement that we put with the Bible that says we have to follow that. If we can't find it in the book of God, we don't do it. And where God doesn't speak and remain silent, we respect His silence. And we don't assume that it would be okay with God to add to His Word. It's found in the old paths. Ephesians 4:5, there's one Lord, one faith, one. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of the Lord. Romans 10:17. Don't mess up and start listening to the preacher or start listening to somebody else. We're reading Scripture this morning and it says it comes by the Word of God. Is your faith founded in the Word of God? Paul says, be careful about listening to every wind of doctrine of man, because those doctrines that people conjure up are damnable heresies that will lead you to your own destruction. People say, well, I don't think God would mind if we worshiped in this way, or I don't think God would mind if we had a separate building where we played games and had fellowship and a basketball court. I don't think it would be wrong to... Well, see, now you're thinking. That's the problem. God's Word doesn't say it, so don't do it. We're here for spiritual purposes, to worship God and to build each other up in the one faith that was once for all delivered to the saints, Jude 3. Don't start thinking. That's where we get in trouble. And also, the Bible says not to go too far in accepting the teachings of men. Jesus said we offer vain worship when we worship according to the commandments of men. We also find in 2 John verses 9 through 11, it says, if you go too far and you do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. You see the problem? The early church in Acts 2:42, after it was established, it says they continued how? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What was inspired of the Holy Spirit and given to those apostles, that church continued steadfastly in those things. And anybody who goes too far and doesn't abide does not have God. Simply put. So seek the old paths of the Lord is the message on this point. Next, it's going to cost you. The right way will cost you. While we have spiritual peace with God, often in this world we have turmoil physically. Yeah, we're being renewed in the Spirit every day, but outwardly our bodies are perishing, and we do face people calling us evil and saying that we're following fairy tales and so on and so forth. I hear it all the time. That's just nothing but a fairy tale, made up stories. Jesus taught that he brought a sword into the world. You know, a lot of times we think about Jesus and we say Jesus is our peace. Yes, he is our peace, but how? He's our peace with God. He's the propitiation that fulfilled the wrath of God so that you and I could have peace with God and be reconciled to him. But Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have all kinds of turmoil. Father against son, son-in-law against father-in-law, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. I mean, you got all kinds of relationship turmoil that's going to come because you decide, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. It'll put strain on your friendships because your friends are going to want to go do and be a part of things that you cannot be a part of. So you have to make a decision. I'm drawing a line. I'm not going to participate. I'm going to find new friends. In Matthew chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, turn over there, please. Matthew chapter 10, 34. He said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household." Let that sink in for a minute. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." You have to lose your own life in a sense that you forfeit all your earthly pleasures. The Lord added that if we value and love anything or anyone more than him, we are not worthy of him. We cannot be his disciples. So you're going to have turmoil in this world. But beyond people and things, we have to deny ourselves. We have to be willing to die in service. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 24 and 25, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." We have to make a decision about who we're following. But you see, often when Jesus lays these costs in front of us, we deem them too high and we walk away sorrowful. We're unwilling to pay the cost. And that's why when we convert people to Christ, we have to ask them, have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? Next, we learn that we're going to have to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly and righteously if we're going to follow the Lord. In Titus 2, if you go over to Titus 2, I'd like to share a verse there with you in verses 11 to 14. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." But again, this is often too challenging for people that are torn between right and wrong. The crooked way seems a lot more fun. Live it up. Be merry. Drink, eat, tomorrow we die, people say. But brothers and sisters, we've got to make a decision about what we're going to do. And sometimes the best way to make that decision is this: seek guidance. If you're feeling lost, ask somebody to teach you the way that God reveals how you ought to live on the right way. While we have spiritual peace with God, we realize that it's only available to us if we get a hold of His directions and His blueprint for our lives. Did you know that inside of you, you are not equipped with a spiritual GPS? You don't have coordinates that you can follow that are already built into you to get you to heaven. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 10, 23, "It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps, But you know what? While it's true that we don't have that GPS, God says, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, that you might be able to walk the way that I want you to. Go back to Jeremiah. You know, preacher, this is one of them scriptures. Preacher always uses that scripture. That Jeremiah 10, 23. You ever looked at the context of this passage? Yeah, let's read 23. I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in man who walks to direct his own steps. There it is. Read verses 19 through 25. Woe is me because of my injury. My wound is incurable. But I said, truly this is a sickness, and I must bear it. My tent is destroyed. All my ropes are broken. My sons have gone from me, and they are no more. There is no one to stretch out my tent again or to set up my curtains. For the shepherds have become stupid and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they have not prospered, and all their flock is scattered. The sound of a report, behold, it comes, a great commotion out in the land of the north, to make the cities of Judah a desolation, a haunt of jackals. I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in man who walks to direct his steps. Now look at this. Correct me, O Lord, but with justice. Not with your anger, or you will bring me to nothing. Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you and on the families that do not call your name. For they have devoured Jacob. They have devoured him and consumed him and laid waste his habitation. God's people were being destroyed because they didn't turn to the Lord. They were looking elsewhere. But as soon as they said, correct me, they asked God to judge those wicked nations and they turned back to the Lord. If it's not in you to direct your own steps, who is the one who guides us? It's God. And we seek His guidance through His holy and divine revelation. Another couple of scriptures that often people say, well, that preacher always uses those scriptures. Proverbs 14, 12 and Proverbs 16, 25. What's it say? There's a way that seems right. There you are thinking again, right? There's a way that feels right, seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's said twice there in the Proverbs. You ever look at the context? Go, if you will, to Proverbs 14. We'll just look at one of them today, since I'm running out of time. I'm aware of that. Proverbs 14. I want you to look at verses 6 through 12. Proverbs 14, 6 through 12. Look at the context. This is important. Here's what the Word says in the Book of Wisdom. A scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge is easy to one who has understanding. Leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. The wisdom of the sensible is to understand his way, but the foolishness of fools is deceit. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is goodwill. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Do you see the context? Don't be a fool. Get understanding and get knowledge and know the will of God for your life. Look at verses 14 to 16. Of that same text. The backslider in heart will have his fill of his own ways. Whose ways? His own ways. But a good man will be satisfied with his. The naive believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. Now go back and read verse 12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Do you want to go by what you feel inside, what you think, or do you want to go by what God has said? Find the knowledge and seek wisdom from above. The Bible tells us that it is the light that guides our pathways. It is the light that guides our pathways. In Psalm 119, 101 to 104, listen to these words. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, listen, through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want to encourage you to stick to the Bible reading plan this year. I'm going to do it. I've determined I'm going to do it. If you get behind a couple of days, read a few extra chapters. But through your word, I get understanding. Finally, then, thank you for your time and attention this morning. We need to talk about this. The straight way, the right way, is the most rewarding way in the end. We know this because the Bible says in Revelation 14:13 that if we die in the Lord, we are blessed. Because the good Lord, in Hebrews 6:10, says, I will not forget your labor of love. I'll remember everything you've done to serve me, how much you had to sacrifice and give up. I'll remember it all, and then I'll reward you accordingly. And because we know that, we need to remain faithful to the Lord. We are also told that while some people see living the Christian life as vain and foolish, we serve faithfully until Jesus comes, because we are fools for Christ. We are fools for Christ. A passage that is often read, but one that we need to be reminded of, especially as we begin a new year, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain, even though people tell you that it often is. You guys are wasting your time. You guys could have a nice Sunday off every week if you'd stop going to that church. You know, Wednesday nights, really, at the end of the day, that's what you want to do, is go sit for an hour in a building studying the Bible. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do, because I don't think I could make it through the week without it. What's really the key here, though, brothers and sisters, is learning contentment with what we have and filling our lives with godly conduct. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I'm telling you right now, and you need to be prepared for it, people are going to continue to mock and be naysayers against the things that you preach and teach and you share, but you don't give up. You keep on that path. Are you ready to go to heaven this morning? You can start going the right way today. It starts with hearing the gospel. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. So what does faith require? You have to hear the word of God, according to Romans 10:17, for it produces faith. Then you believe and have faith in what you learn from the Word of God. After you believe it, it motivates you to repent, that is, to turn from your sin and turn to the right way. And once you've made that decision to put away your sin and turn to the right way, you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then you are immersed in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. And you'll be raised up out of those waters and the newness of life to walk with the Lord faithfully for the rest of your time. That is the one thing that many people overlook, is this step, being faithful. Being faithful to God. If you have strayed, turn back today. What a great way to start the new year, right? To get right back on track to serve the Lord. Confess your faults and let us pray for you. The Bible says if you'll do that, God will forgive all unrighteousness. Renew your walk with the Lord as we start this brand new year, and then rely on God and your brethren for strength in the days and weeks ahead. To wrap up, I'd like to say share a passage from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and who for the joy set before Him endured the cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God. You know, God's not asking you to do anything that His Son didn't already do. He paved the way. He went through the turmoils and troubles of this world, but guess where He's at now? At the right hand of God in the riches of His glory. Guess where you can be someday if you'll remain faithful? Seated with Christ in heavenly places, in all that glorious wealth that God has in store for us that cannot even be put into words. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered, and he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. I'm calling you this morning to obey the Lord and put him on in baptism. If you've surrendered to Jesus at one point, but you've walked away, don't risk losing your soul because it'll just be too embarrassing to walk up there and have somebody pray for me. Don't worry about that. We're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. But if you're struggling and you've in some way sinned to violate your conscience and you need to get it right, do it today. Start the year off the way that you should in God's good graces. Don't live for the passing pleasures and momentary pleasures of this world. So how can we assist you today? How can we help? There's going to be a song sung in just a moment. Only a step. The waters of baptism are ready if you've never obeyed the gospel. If you have obeyed the gospel but have strayed, I'll be standing down front. You can join me in the front while together we stand and sing. We will assist you. Come now.